Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com and follow me on twitter.com/coachandrew. By the way, since our last show, we've blasted way past 10,000 downloads, and I'm still waiting for someone to enter my contest for 3 months of free coaching. See my show blog for details or visit bit.ly, that's bit.ly/freecoachingcontest. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show while you're on the phone, and then if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page where you can feel free to join in and ask questions there. After twice being a guest on Lori Lawson's Manhattan Cable Coaching shows, I thought it was time to have her on mine. Lori is the co-creator and founder of Coaches on the Edge and is a certified empowerment coach, a professional credential coach, a certified EQ mentor, a mentor coach for IPEC, which is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, president for the board of the International Coach Federation in New York City, executive producer of Coach World TV, and creator host of Coach Chat Radio. She's also a writer, reviewer for Electronic Link Journey, a published author, and an international blogger for Skirt.com. Lori is also a transplanted Southern Belle, but living in New York has not taken the Southern out of her. Lori Lawson, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Coach Andrew. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited to be on your show tonight.
It's nice to have you on the other side.
Yes. Now you can torture me like I used to torture
yes,
you.
Yes, it's my turn to torture you.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, where did we even start? You are one credentialed lady.
I keep busy. I will say that. I do keep busy. But I think it's because I have this underlying goal. I just think coaching is so worthwhile, and I just really want to share it with as many people as I can. And that's not only personal coaching. It's just letting people know that it's out there. So and there's so many opportunities to do that.
So you're a sort of a spokesperson, but that's not the word that I'm looking for, like a voice of the world of coaching.
I'm certainly an advocate, definitely.
Advocate, that's a great word.
That's a cool word, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, advocate.
Makes you sound smart, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, that's a very smart word. So what led you into the world of coaching in the first place?
It is just such a silly little tale, but I'll tell it anyway. There was a show on that some people saw, and some people, this is their only introduction to coaching, that was called Starting Over. And it was a bunch of women in a house in Chicago with some life coaches, and they did some magic transformation things. And I kept saying, wow, I would love to get inside that house and start over. And, I was addicted. I don't do soap operas, but this one I did. And it was, and there were real people and real, things going on there. And one day a friend of mine came and brought in huge ad from the newspaper and said, introduction to life coaching, come hear this free thing. So we said, oh, okay, let's go. And we went, and it was like, I was not overwhelmed. It was like, oh, okay. And we were listening, and we were really kind of saying, I don't know, you know. And so at the end, the gentleman who was selling, hard selling, said, okay, well, because there's so many people here, I'm going to give 4 people the opportunity to get free coaching. And it was like, I don't think so. But he goes, just put your business card in. So I put my business card in with everybody else's, and I went to the ladies' room. When I came back, my friend said, we both got chosen. And I go, oh, my gosh. I said, all right. So the rest is history. It was like, I think the universe is just trying to tell me, go be a coach, young lady. And at the time, I was younger, and I did it. I really didn't start it to – my intention wasn't to be – It wasn't, oh, I'm going to get a new career. It was like, I want to find out all about me. I want to find out what makes me tick and what I'm doing. And it was three modules. So by the first module, it was like, wow, I've been doing a lot of crazy stuff that I wasn't aware that I was doing. And by the second module, it was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. You have to share it. And then by the third module, I was a certified coach, and it was, okay, let's get on with this. So that's kind of the roundabout story. I think I owe it all to television and a slight addiction, but, hey, I'll take it.
sometimes you never know when your addictions are going to transform you in some strange way, right?
Absolutely, and you know, nobody said addictions all have to be bad.
There
can
be positive. Good addictions.
Absolutely. So, and this one turned out to be, and you know, so it was just one of those things. And I think anybody who's been through coach training or even any kind of intense training, it's like you really have experiences with the people that you're sharing this with that you don't have with anybody else, and it's just. You really get a bonding going, and it's just amazing. And to me, that's what ICF as an organization continues. It's like, okay, because when you're finally finished with your coach training, and there's so many emotions going on, it's like, oh my gosh, now I got to get a real job. I got to go do something with this. And it's like, oh, I'm going to miss all these people. I'm not going to, and you know, at the time, it's like, if I have to make one more call, I'm really going to have to throw my phone out the window. Because it, you know, it's intense and you're doing all this training stuff. But when it starts to be over, it's like, there's a sadness. And for me, and what filled the gap was the ICF, because it was a bunch of coaches who, you know, wanted to continue that camaraderie and that learning and the practicing even of skills and using tools and things. And that's one of the most valuable things that ICF, you know, provides as far as I'm concerned. That's what I was looking for. So,
how long have you been involved with the ICF?
Oh, my goodness. A certified coach, since 2005. And a year later, I was on the board. So about 4 years, going on five.
So what have been some of the changes that's happened with the ICF since you got there?
Well, I think one is, there was an atmosphere when I got there of ICF NYC where it was a bit cliquish. People had, you know, it was groups of friends, and that's fine, but some people actually didn't feel that comfortable. And so we worked really hard to make everyone feel welcome and to include. That was the goal the first year. It was just break all the cliques up and let's really start welcoming new people. And I think we succeeded more, and the statistics show our membership increased greatly. The second year was, it's like, well, okay, as long as we're doing this, let's find out what coaches want. So it was actually what we did the second year was take a survey and say, and I think we had a town hall meeting where people came and they just said, you know, what they need to get their business going, what they need to get their career going, you know. And so we provided the training and the stuff for that at the meeting. So that's on the local level, and we're striving for that all the time, just to find out what needs are out there and to meet them. But for the larger ICF, there's a whole bunch of changes going on right now, and some are the credentialing that they're trying to do and make coaching a standardized profession where when you say coach, because right now you say coach and everybody goes, oh, what sport? Even though a lot more people do know life coaching, but there are still people who just really don't. What does it mean, you know? And it's, you know, when you try to explain what coaching is, it's like you start babbling and it's like, no, it's just very hard to explain. So what they want is a standard where people can say, oh, coach, okay, just like you say CPA, you know what that is,
right?
You know, certified public accountant. Big undertaking, but as long as somebody has to do it, why not ICF Global, you know?
So, and that, which kind of leads me into some other areas in the realm of credentialing and what's out there. Now, you know, a lot of people don't even know what it means, what credentialing means, as as you know, there is no legal definition, really, of what credentialing means at this point. There's no standard in terms of the law. There are, in fact, several different coaching organizations that offer various kinds of credentialing, probably more than several, but I would say probably ICF is the most widely known one.
I think it's the gold standard for the United States. It's the premier. It's the one that's recognized by almost everyone in the profession. Now, in other countries, that you know, in the UK, there's competition. There are, I think the last count, somewhere between 12 and 14 different organizations that offer accreditation as coaching. New countries are opening up, India, you know, third world countries and things like that. So coaching means different things in different countries. But in the United States, I think ICF is the gold standard. And what they've decided they wanted to do is, one, tighten up that gold standard and make sure that it really means something. And two, take it on and take on the world, I mean, if they can. And that's sort of been the goal, what they're doing.
Now, what about like an organization like the IAC? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not really, no. I get correspondence from them at some point. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I'm like, I guess you could say a free member. Well, I was at one time. I think now you have to pay to be a member of it. When I first got into coaching, they had a free membership. And then credentialing, and ICF had a paid membership and credentialing. So I was a paid member of ICF and a free member of IAC, but I get emails from them. I'm not really sure what they're up to, and I've seen their terminology, it seems like there's some differences in some of their approaches.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just another, you know, but I would say it's sort of like another camp. In a way.
Okay, yeah.
Like in boxing, you know, there was, you remember when Muhammad Ali was, were trying to reunite the heavyweight title because there were like three different heavyweight titles that were considered the heavyweight title and there wasn't really one.
Yes, and I think if you had to place a bet, say in Las Vegas, I'd put it on ICF right now. They've been around for 15 years, and they kind of do it naturally. And they're at the point where I think the other organizations are getting into it, and fine. But I think ICF is at the point where they are finessing and honing and sharpening and really getting down to the nitty-gritty now, where the other organizations might be a little younger than. I just got back from a CAM conference, which is Conversation Among Masters, and that was like an organization that was developed by MCC, which is Master Certified Coaches, the highest level, and they've done 4 million hours, you know, and things like that. And they sort of designed this to meet their needs because they, you know, they felt that they had been coaching for so long that to have the same standards and the same training as someone who's just gotten out of coaching school wasn't meeting their needs. So what they did was design this. And there's, you know, a little bit of superiority, and maybe they've earned it. I think they really do have to have a minimum of 2,500 hours coaching and things like that. But what I found really interesting was many of the people that were at this conference, and it was a superb conference, and it was a lot of interaction between coaches, which was really something that, you know, that was what they originally wanted. But a lot of people were there to get what's called CCEUs, which is coaching educational units, which are needed in order to renew ICF certification. So even though they've sort of split off, they're still honoring the standards that ICF has set for their credentialing, which means that it is very interesting. It's a little schizoid, but interesting. Even though they are saying, well, you know, ICF is not necessarily meeting our needs, we're still going to be a member and we're still going to play by their rules and become credentialed because that's what's recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And, even though it may be, maybe they want another level, but what right now that is the recognized standard. And I thought it was very telling, and, it really sort of clarified it for me. It was like, okay, so there's room for many, but it still looks like the gold standard lies mm-hmm. with ICF at this point.
And so at this point, we're in a world where, as you said, anybody could really say, I am a coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am. That's what I do. Here's my shingle. Kind of like a therapist 30, 40 years ago, any schmo could call themselves a therapist. And now you legally cannot unless you are legally, a therapist. At this point, how far would you say we are from a point where, say, legislation might start to happen where it becomes not just a voluntary thing, but something that might be compelled?
Oh, very complicated question, because there are other countries that are doing that now. Italy is in the process of making coaching become as restrictive, so to speak, as therapy, and they want to include that in it. Now, ICF is saying, it's a totally different thing, and let's talk about it. Here, that's not happening right now. And you're right, there are courses where you take a weekend, and then you're told, go out and coach. You're a coach now,
Yeah.
So there is no...
you're
really
a closed district. Cover before a striking certified coach.
Exactly. Can you draw this picture? Well, okay.
Yes. If you can draw a picture of somebody coaching somebody, you too can be a coach.
You too can be a coach, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what, and this is not confidential, I am on a global committee also, and what they are doing on this committee is they are tightening up the standards, and it's like for ICF, it's like, at this point, right now, you do not have to be a coach to be a member of ICF. You can, be a part of the ICF, and yet you don't have to be a credentialed coach. Talks are underway to say, you know what? Really, I think what we probably are going to do is make it so that you do have to be a certified coach in order to be a member of ICF. What they want to do is, they've got the recognition. Now they really want to clarify what it means. Okay,
right.
People, if you're a coach, ICF. So now what they want to do is clarify that. And it's like, okay, if you're an ICF coach, like immediately, like a CPA, that's going to mean, okay, you have gone through a coaching school, you have met X criteria, whatever
mm-hmm.
whatever they decide that's going to be. So that is kind of, I think, like I said, that, they are in their 15th year, and now it's time for not just implementation and execution, it's time for improvement and really getting it down to exactly where you want it. So you're not going to be arrested at this point if you're not a certified coach and you say you are. But they're working on it. No, they're not going to work on it.
Coach Andrew, come out with your hands up.
You've been fooling the public long enough, yes. But
now, what about things like grandfathering? And there's some people who have been coaching for many, many years.
Yes.
And certainly, I think of a prominent person who certainly is self-described as a coach, among other things. I think of Anthony Robbins, who I'm personally a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't see Tony going back to school.
No. And so is your question, are they making accommodations for people who aren't coaches?
No. Are they making people for accommodation who are clearly coaches? They've been coaching forever. There's probably very successful coaches,
mm-hmm.
But perhaps they haven't gone through some of the modern, the quote unquote coaching school, for example. People who are coaching when the coaching world is nascent, just getting going, and have been just coaching since the 60s or 70s.
Right.
So what do you do with those people?
This is purely speculation on my part.
We like speculation.
Yes.
Here on Coach's Corner, we are speculating.
We speculate, yes.
Yes.
One, if you are, let's say, if you're in the category of a coach, then they're going, and you've already gotten their credential, you've already played by the rules, then quite likely whatever credential you have, they're going to grandfather that in because it is an ICF credential, and for them not to honor that would be crazy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably, now what you're talking about is like, I understand what you're saying because there was someone there who at this conference, and they were very upset because they are so qualified, it's frightening. And ICF, to this point, does say that, you know what, you need to at least fill out our application, and it's really not that difficult.
Right.
And you know, testify to and account for the hours that we're saying that you need, and then, you know, you will get the certification.
Right.
And, yes, it would be lovely if they could say, oh, my gosh, Anthony Robbins, you just are out there doing it. But if they do that for an Anthony Robbins, they're going to have to do it for a Joe Schmo. And
well, is that really true? Because you don't know who Joe Schmo is, but you know who Anthony Robbins is. If you've been to one of his workshops, you've been coached by him. You know what I'm saying? You can attest to that man's an amazing coach. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
You're
going to
tell me he's not a coach? Joe Schmo may not be a coach. I can't. So why exactly would you say that the rules would have to apply to Joe Schmo?
Well, I think if you're going to take the time to make rules, then I think what you have to do is adhere to them. And if
right.
you start making exceptions, then I think the rules become meaningless.
Well,
now, I
can see what you're saying, mm-hmm. except that, you know, that's sort of like a very rock-solid way of viewpoint, and it's certainly like, now to me, in fact, part of coaching is to help people, in my opinion, is help people to think outside boxes. So this is a box in which you cannot see a possibility that's not one thing.
Great point. I think what they're doing, and they're, nothing is definite, that's for sure, but what they're doing is talking to people. The major concern is right now, or what has been causing, and there has been conflict on this because, you know, there's a lot of, when you start telling people, oh, that's a nice credential, but it's not going to mean anything because we're going to make it cooler, people get nervous. So their main concern is taking care of those people who have played by the rules, have
right.
gotten the credentials,
mm-hmm.
and then the exceptions. Now, when they go for the global aspect, you know, when, like I said, they're opening up in India, they're, you know, Argentina's doing some great stuff, but some of these countries only have one coaching school. So
right.
it's going to be very difficult to say you have to have gone to that school if it's like 400, 500 miles away and you know, people just don't jet around like they do in the United States. So all that has to be accommodated for. And there may be, it may be that there will be room for exceptions. And certainly if you were going to make one, it would be Tony Robbins. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, and I don't think anybody would go, oh, we don't know if he's qualified or not. But but I think, you know, I think they don't want to start out with exceptions. They want to get
right,
the rules
sure.
down first, and then they'll know what they need to make the exception
gotcha.
For. Yeah.
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense, Lori.
Well, that's good. A lot of energy going into it, so I hope it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. So we've talked about credentialing. Now, you have so many interesting things that are going on I would like to hear about.
Yes.
I know you're involved in mentor coaching and EQ mentoring. I want to hear more about. And by the way, I actually have my blog site is mentorcoach.wordpress.com. Why? I don't know.
I'm just going to say, where did that name come from?
that's always been that was the blog site I came up with when I first started blogging.
Wow. What do you, have you done any mentor coaching?
And I don't know. I mean, I mentored people as a coach. So
right.
But you're going to have to define for me what mentor coaching is within what you mean.
Okay. I shall try. well, the mentor coaching that I do, not the EQ mentor. That's a whole different animal.
Okay.
We can talk about that. But the mentor coaching I do is for my alma mater, which happens to be IPEC, which is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. And I don't know what coaching, you know, process you went through, but as I said, we had three modules, and you did a lot of peer coaching. You had a pretend coach, and you were a pretend coach, and just to get the practice going.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I had a
was...
different, very different set.
Oh, did you? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to International Coach Academy, ICA.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that. Absolutely, yeah.
And they have, you know, I can't tell you the number, like 13 modules. Or they have like different levels also, you know, of intro coach and advanced coach. And then they have you have to have a lot of time where you are coaching somebody while a master coach is listening in. It could be a PCC, but it could they will listen in and watch for coaching competencies and give you a report on this is what you made, this is the ones you didn't get, over a series of sessions, like laser sessions.
That's pretty much what the mentor coaching is also. Interesting. I like that. So, and you say the PCC, that was a part of it? There was already the qualification there when you took it?
Yeah, and they would have one of the instructors who was at that level in the ICF or higher. They had a couple of master coaches there as well who would be the observer. And while you coach somebody, it would be my job to go find somebody to coach and bring them on the call. It was all done over the phone.
Right.
And there were also other observers who were invited to, each person would wait their turn, and other people can notice what was, in the practice sessions, other people could notice what was achieved in terms of the core competencies.
Okay.
And I have taught the fundamentals of coaching in using that modality.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that's really similar to what I'm talking about with mentor coaching then,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It is, when we were doing it, you know, you had like the peer groups and you had the group coaching, but there was one person that was on the outside, you know, and it was like a reality check because, you know, when you're practicing with people who are learning coaching, they know what to say, you know what to say, and it's kind of, you know, it's like kind of easy and everybody helps everybody along. But the mentor coach was the outside person, and the mentor coach was the one who gave you the reality check. And so how it's done when I'm doing it is that I make up a scenario and have the coachees-to-be coach me on it. And then I give them feedback on things that they did fantastically well and areas where they need to have improvement. So that's kind of the mentor coaching that I'm talking about.
Okay, that's a little bit, because in the ones that I did, we there were no made-up scenarios. People, that's actually the challenge was finding somebody who had an issue that needed coaching or had a scenario, as opposed to making one up. So hey, anything you need coaching on? Because I really need somebody for this call.
That is a challenge,
yeah.
And I almost wish that we had gotten that one because it would have been. You know, that was one thing where I felt that we didn't get a lot of practice in, like, where are the clients? How do you find them, you know? But so that would have been the challenge. That would have been great.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty cool. And the when we were doing the ones for graduation, I think we had to do six of them, six 15-minute sessions. And ideally, you would have the same person for all of them, but not everybody could. And I had somebody for, like, three or four of them, and he couldn't make a couple of them, and so I had to go out and find somebody else with a challenge.
It was, for a
who, and who was willing to be, even though it was only on the phone, it should have been the line of fire. I mean,
yeah,
everybody's quiet, but still, you're being observed. It's kind of challenging for people.
Very much so, and it's kind of the make or break test, and
yeah.
You know, which is, that's why, but what I like about it is, it reminds me why I became a coach, because it's like, they're so enthusiastic, and they're so nervous, and they really want to do so well, and it's like, and then you remember, oh yeah, that's a technique I haven't used in ages, and I should use that, that's a good technique.
That's true.
It's kind of like a refresher course for yourself also.
Well, I remember there were, like in the core competencies, and they had all these little sub areas, and the number 72 sticks in my mind. I don't know if that's true. Like 72 little areas total of that you might get
and you wouldn't get on a single call unless there was something really weird. I mean, it's not going to happen. But over a series of calls, you would find that you would hit this competency and that one and this subcompetency. And I actually made every one of them.
Really?
I was very proud of myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get extra credit? Because you should have.
I think I did get extra. I did quite well in graduating from ICA.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were you given grades, or did you just?
Yeah. The grades in the form of in that area of it was basically you would get back an email with a spreadsheet of which ones you got this week and had a running total as well, so you could see you got this one, this one, this one. You didn't get this one. There would be some comments as well, but you would see the biggest thing was to hit those competencies. And over the six sessions, you know, hopefully by the total, you would get every one of them. And most people didn't get every one of them.
Yeah, I would think not. But that's really great training. Yeah. Well, at the end, they will be getting I don't want to say an evaluation, but they will definitely, and hopefully, because I'll do this six times with each person. You know, they will hit most of the core competency.
Right.
You're right. For them to hit all of it is going to be really, that would be.
That was like, I was like, wow, that really worked out.
They should have stamped
a
gold star on your
they
forehead.
They should have. And then we had to do a research paper, which was, now, by the way, I was not a research paper guy when I was in school. And so we had to do a research paper. Then I found that you can do a case study. And so I did a case study on the people that I trained in the coaching fundamentals. I did a three month training, I did a case study on that, which was an extraordinary training with extraordinary results. I was very proud of myself, and I got a 97 on that. So that it was a pretty interesting experience for me being back in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what other people did, you know, so I know that I did pretty well compared to a lot of my classmates.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was so into, I keep wondering how good was I? I remember what the mentor coach said, but it was like, did I learn anything from that? I don't know, because we were so nervous when we had to go against the real person.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh my goodness, so you could only hope for the best, you know, and he was kind and gentle, and then, as I am too, it's in no sense of beating people down, but it's... So it's extraordinary how different phases of the coaching, you know, take place in different programs, but it all gets done. So that I like the idea of, you know, getting a tally on how many competencies you hit.
Yeah, it was
a
very, very interesting approach, and I think ICA is a terrific school.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it was very comprehensive.
And all of it was by phone.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And not just by, you know, in the teleclass format, but people calling in from all over the world in all kinds of different time zones. So I might be up at 7 in the morning and somebody else might be 2 in the morning in whatever country they were in, and another person was in the middle of the night for them and somebody else is in the afternoon.
Was it always based on Eastern Standard Time?
Yes,
Everything
was based on Eastern Standard Time, but even though the school is based in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was, and you even though you don't see anybody, you recognize, you know, if you have any kind of an ear, literally,
yes,
you would start to recognize voices, and I actually. You know, you were like going to school with the same people all the time who would show up because people tended to have the same schedule. So you would hear the same people on the 7 o'clock call in this particular module, and it was great. And we had a graduation by phone with hundreds of people on this call.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been
my dad was in attendance.
Oh, well,
he was in California and I was in New York.
Well, that's kind of cool. What I liked about mine was I liked the face-to-face. It was like, and I'm sure you all had bonding experiences also.
Totally.
Just, you know, it was just so cool and you looked forward to seeing these people every 3 months. It was like, oh, my God. And you're on the phone all the time with them also. But I liked the face-to-face, but a lot of people wanted to do the telephone because of the it's certainly more convenient. It's, you know, it's for
well, it works.
It
doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
I am by nature. I love to talk on the phone, and my listening is particularly heightened on the phone. So it works. It works for me. But some people prefer face to face. I've done face to face as well. But it's a completely different dynamic because you're just lost in the what you're hearing, and it's like what's in between words, and you can really focus in a different kind of way. Like, have you ever, by any chance, did you see the movie Ray?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there's a guy who his senses were so heightened by, you know, he's blind, but his other senses were so heightened that he heard things that nobody even knew existed. I mean, he could hear the bird outside the window.
Yes.
You know, the bug on the floor or whatever. I'm not Ray. Let me state
let's
that.
Let's clarify that, yes. But you're good. You're pretty good.
Oh, beautiful. No. But, you know, really, that's like not, I'm not going to put myself in that category of listening, but when I'm on the phone with people, that's where I'm all ears.
Well,
oh, sorry.
Okay. I know you did.
Yes, I really did.
I know your sense of humor.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know what? But absolutely, and oddly, not oddly enough, probably aptly enough, my favorite kind of coaching is face-to-face, you know? And you like the listening part. You know, I'll do both, but I kind of like face-to-face.
And how's your setup for face-to-face? Where do you do it?
I need to be careful with that. But it's face-to-face with people that I know or have met. I have a home office.
Okay.
But I have good security, so I'm hoping. So far, I haven't needed it. But it's
right.
A lot of people I know, someone was telling me, in Israel, like everybody goes to Starbucks, and that's where they coach. And it's like I still think you need that confidentiality thing.
I did one session in a Starbucks.
Did you? How'd it go?
It was okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It was okay. It was perfectly fine. It, you know, the results were had, but there was definitely, you know, I think it. There's a lot of distraction. And a lot of things that could pull your ears as well as your eyes in a place like that. But I will also tell you that individual, it was my first client, and he is still my client.
Oh, my gosh. So you must have done something right in Starbucks.
Yes.
Who picked up the tab, you or him?
I believe it was me.
All right. So, like I said, you must have
rule
done
one:
right.
Buy the coffee for the person.
Absolutely. If you're charging them, you can at least give them a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Cool. Well, tell me what you think about this, because this EQ Mentor thing, I fought this for so long. EQ Mentor is an organization based in North Carolina, and what they do is it's for business people. It's for people who want a business coach, but it's all done online. And I can
what does the EQ stand for?
It's emotional quota, like IQ, but it's, you know, the emotional quota. So it, and what it is it's bringing coaching into businesses, really, and it's for professional people. But it's for professional people who are just too darn busy to, you know, get on the phone and be coached. And when I heard about it, it was like, well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard, and I'm the one who likes face-to-face, and I fought it and I fought it. And finally I said, you know what, jump into the 21st century, Laurie, because that's how people relate to one another now. It's, you know.
Sure.
Give it a try. And believe it or not, you know, I've had a total of 3 clients so far, and it kind of works. It's just, it's amazing. I'm really impressed, and maybe because they're professional people, by the dedication. They, you know, if you give them an assignment, they do it, and they kind of look forward to you getting back to them, and it has a plethora, just a huge toolbox of all kinds of written things that you download and send them, and it was like, well, I guess I don't hate it as much as I thought I would. I just, if you had asked me would I think it would work, I would say, no, this is crazy. But it seems to be. And what they do is you'd have to take the EQ test, which is horrendous. It's like 30 pages. And then, of course, your clients do also, and they match you up. It's kind of like eHarmony, but for businesses or something.
That's fascinating. Well, that actually, that would be up my alley, by the way.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. It certainly sounds like
I will tell you, in fact, I have actually had several people that I have coached, not just, you know, online. I've coached in instant messaging. I've coached in email. I actually have, my listening, even in words, I'm definitely a linguist. I am a language guy. I'm a writer by nature. And I know, I could really see what people are saying. And I could tell when there's something that shifts when somebody types.
Really?
You know, I mean, yeah, people, like, I'll have a conversation with somebody in an instant message, and I'll go, "What's wrong?" And they'll go, "How do you know something's wrong?" I said, "Because your typing changed." What do you mean my typing changed? There's a difference in your tone. What tone? Like, people don't think there's tone online, and yeah, sometimes there's not, but I actually, it's subtle, but if you are attuned to it, you'll see
Can
it.
Can you give me, like, an example? I mean, not a real case, but
well,
mean,
it's
what
like
would
if,
be a shift?
Well, for example, if someone you have had conversations with before, they might be a little less ebullient in how they're speaking. Like there's, like you could tell when people are happy to see you. Hey, you know, lots of exclamation marks. What's going on? Hey, good. What's oh, having a great. And then also, hello, hi. What's going on? Nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I see. Like a shortened, abbreviated. Yeah. All right. So they're not as. Ebullient, as you said. Yes,
yeah.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah, this would be right up your alley then. I'll tell you how to get in touch with them.
Sure.
And you can take that horrendous test that everybody has to take. But it's fun because it tells you where your shortcomings are also and where you need work. So it's if someone had told me I'd be doing that, it's like, no. And I'm computer savvy. I mean, I live in front of the computer, but it just wouldn't, I'm the person who doesn't have the BlackBerry because I don't want to be plugged in all the time. But this seems to be working, and so, like you say, out of the box, you sort of have to accommodate what's going on, and people are just relating to each other through these computers. So that's what's happening on that end. But it's
so Lori, what qualifies one to become a mentor coach?
Moxie. No, I think what qualifies is, well, first of all, I can only speak for, well, from, I think I had to, when I was doing the EQ Mentor, I think I had to, you know, hit a couple of marks like you did on the core competencies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fell below that, they weren't going to consider you. So, they took that in consideration. But for the IPEC thing, you have to be a PCC. At least, which is a professional certified coach, and that's the ICF credential. And you also, there's a whole, since, because I'm an old timer now, but there's a whole new leadership potential training that I also had to go through because they didn't have that. I think I was like one of the pioneers, really. I'm not sure how long IPEC has been around, but they've certainly added a lot of stuff to their training, and that was one of them. So I had to retake that. And then they give you, you get a little few test people to see if, if you don't, if they don't go screaming and if they don't quit the training, you go, I don't want to be a coach. I think, they go, okay, then you probably made it. But and they monitor and they've got a lot of systems and tools that can help you do what you're doing. But I think it's really, and of course, I guess for IPEC, you would have to have gone through IPEC to do it. Now, you might be able to do it with CIA?
ICA.
Sorry, CIA. That's a whole
other
one.
Yeah, the CIA.
Yeah.
Well, the Culinary Institute of America is the CIA, so there's that one.
This is true, so that maybe that is a good
idea. The FBI, the Food and Beverage Institute.
Oh,
sure.
Anyway, ICA. I think I don't. And probably if you were going to do that for them, they would want you to have gone through their program because that's what they're teaching. So, it's just something that I don't know. I like IPEC. I think it's a cool, and it sounds like you like ICA. So, you know, and I think we all have special affinities. It's kind of like your first neighborhood when you move to the city. It's like, yeah, that's your home no matter where you live. So,
you know, if they combined IPEC with the NRA,
you
would have I Hunt and Peck.
You okay? You got any more?
No, but we'll be here all week, folks.
Okay.
Special, I don't know where these things come out of my head.
It's just amazing.
Yes, isn't it, though?
It really is, yeah.
Maybe we could speak for a couple of minutes about some of the new creative ways that people are coaching.
Okay. I think online is one. I think, you know,
yeah.
I think it just, they turned around and said, let's meet the need. And it's like, and that's what they did. So I think online is one. What do you think is one?
Group coaching.
Yeah.
Like group coaching, I'm hearing quite a lot about it. I've never really experienced it, so I don't really know what it looks like, but I keep hearing about it.
You know what? I think group coaching is responding to exactly what's happening nowadays. It's like it's an economical consideration, because some people just really, if they've lost their job, then they might definitely, that's who else needs a coach more than someone who's just lost their job, but they might not be able to afford it.
It's like that catch-22 thing.
So if you put them in a group, you can charge less and they can get the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely meeting a need of what's going on and responding to the economy today. I kind of like it because you get your message out there, you know, and you don't have to say it 20 times. There's 20 people in your group. Where I have trouble distinguishing, and maybe you can help me, is the difference between a workshop and group coaching. Because I'm not that adept at it yet. I dabble around with workshops, but I don't call it group coaching. Do you know the distinction, or do you have a distinction?
No, but, you know, when you say that, it's interesting because the moment you said that, you know, I've been in a million workshops and trainings and transformations going back to 1983, and all of them in one sense could be looked at as a group coaching experience.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, until I have been meaning to, like, look into this a little bit more and maybe join a group coaching from a participant point of view and see, you know, let's see what this looks like.
Well, I think I might have the solution to your problem, Andy.
Oh, do you?
Well, one of them, not all of them. But in September, I don't know, you must have heard of Michelle Schubnell, Coach and Grow Rich.
Yes.
She's going to be the speaker at the September ICF NYC meeting, and she is going to do her presentation on group coaching. Now, if anybody knows group coaching, it's this lady, because she has been kicking around coaching and gotten so many successful ventures off the ground, you know, in coaching. So we're all looking forward to that, because we're all a little confused. It's like, okay, and I think that's the main distinction. It's like, we know what a workshop is. What's group coaching, and what's the difference? You know, and so come to that meeting, and that will give you a head start at least. And then you can, they're always the third Wednesday, and I'm not sure what that is, but whatever the third Wednesday is in September, she's going to be there, and it'll be, the topic is group coaching. So it's something we're all grappling with, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what about, have you heard of coaching clubs?
I think I have. The description that I have of those are where people get together and like a Tupperware party, and coaching is done. Is that what it is, or am I just making that up?
Well, that's definitely not what I had in my head.
No Tupperware? Okay.
No, I believe that those are done. Also, something that is like a subscription-based kind of a service, like online.
Mm.
And I think that's one way of creating, you know, a large clientele of people who pay very little money, really relatively $10 or $20 or $30, to be part of a coaching club where there's some sort of coaching that happens.
And it's all done online.
I think so. But, again, I'm not really 100% sure. I know it's come my way. I've looked at it and think, I should look at that.
Yes, before you ask me about it, no.
But. Before I ask you about it, no, I, you know, meaning for my as a possibility, and so I thought I'd see if you knew what it was about.
I don't, but it does sound intriguing. And it sounds a coaching club. I like.
There's
I like
a
the
woman named Milana Leshinsky. Are you familiar with her?
No. Mm-mm.
She's a definitely a master of coaching marketing, certainly. And she's a very interesting, very nice person. I've had a number of emails with her, and she offers all kinds of coaching related products. And she's a one of my Facebook friends. So. I believe that's one of her. She has a coaching club thing, but again, I haven't gone past thinking, oh, that's interesting. I should look into it.
You know what I like, the exclusivity of it. It's like, oh, it sounds like I'm a member of a coaching club, and I kind of like that. It sounds like you're part of something special that's going on.
I wonder if you got a secret decoder ring as part
of
the package.
Oh, wow, and they change the passwords every 5 days. So
I'm really dating myself with the secret decoder ring
secret
conversation.
Secret decoder, yes, you are.
I am. And I also would like to talk to you about a Now, this has been a topic in the last couple of shows. It's come, it managed to come up is the four agreements, and I know that you're familiar with the fifth agreement.
Oh, and, you just want an exclusive thing, and I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Actually, I have the privilege, and trust me, it is truly a privilege to hear Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote the four agreements, speak at the CAM conference. And with him, he brought his son, and we all heard the son was coming, and it's like, yeah, okay, you know, drag him along if you must. But the son was a fantastic speaker also, and he helped Don Miguel, it's Don Jose and Don Miguel, but he helped Don Miguel, they both wrote the book, The Fifth Agreement, which is really the, you know, just the continuation of the four agreements, of course, but... So it's amazing when Don Miguel walks in the room, you know that there's a spiritual presence. I mean, whether you, no matter what you believe in, there's a spiritual presence. So, and it was quite, impressive, and they're just so honest and so sincere, and they really seem to have a lot of the concepts down that you and I might struggle with. It's like, okay, I know I should be doing this, but they just seem to have it, and they love to share it with people. So I recently got on the website, and there's an application there that took me about 25 to 30 minutes to complete, and said, you know what, we'd love to have Don Jose. We know we can't get Don Miguel, because he's not, it's not that he's not healthy, but he from his bio, he had a heart attack and was in a coma for 9 months.
Wow.
And told us that 60% of his heart works now, and that's it. So, you know, we don't want to drag him to Newark, but we asked, you know, maybe we could talk about the son. So I'm presently in negotiations with Don Jose to come to New York City and maybe do a workshop for us. So I just, you said you were familiar with the four agreements, right?
Oh, sure. It's managed to come up on the last couple of shows talking about that. I was talking about that last week with Stephanie Michelle. And, that's a book that actually was given to me as a gift by a woman who gives that away on a monthly basis. So at least she did at the time. Just about every month, she would see somebody she thought would benefit from it, and she would give them the book. It was her way of sort of paying it forward.
Yeah, Bernie Siegel, the past president of ICF, gives it to his clients. He's just he just feels that it just sums up, you know, if you can just grasp these concepts, you got it, you know, and it's so simplistic that a lot of people go, well, I just didn't get it, and I think it's really because it's so simplistic. It's like you're looking for something complex. I mean, one is be impeccable with your word. It's like just say what you really mean, you know, and
right.
don't get caught up in foolishness, and you know, don't make assumptions. Just very simple concepts that we strive for, but it's so hard. They're simple in the mind and very hard in the execution.
Well, don't take anything personally.
Yeah,
I mean that's huge. That's probably the biggest one for me.
Yeah, but once you put it, as soon as it runs through your head, it's like, oh, okay, it's not about me. So it's a lovely mantra, if nothing
Not personal, it's just business.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, hey, all right, I don't have to like it, but no, it's, yeah, and so I'm just so excited. Unfortunately, the one date that we've talked about is like one day before the ICF Global Conference, and I want to, you know, I want to have him on the show. I want to do so much with him.
Mm.
So it might be that we're talking, you know, we'll have to move it back a little bit. I'm going to keep working on it, and I will definitely keep you posted.
Okay,
and,
I am there.
Yeah, and if people want to find out what is going on, they can certainly subscribe to the newsletter, because you can bet it's going to be in there the minute I know what's going on. And that they can do that
okay.
at www.icfnyc.org. And that's just our website, and it has all the everything that's going on, all the activities. It has our radio show on there. It has our television show on there. And it's that you'll find out from that, and you can subscribe for the newsletter, and that I'll definitely keep everybody posted on that.
Okay, and what about you? How would people find out more about Laurie Lawson?
They can find me at, well, I have a website, which is www, of course, ELJNY.com, and it just stands for Empowered Life Journeys, so it's ELJNY.com.
Mm-hmm.
And email is just throw a C in there, Laurie@ELJNYC.com.
Okay, and your Coach World TV, now that's a local show, which means
public
it's designed
access.
For public access. It's designed for people in New York to be able to see. However, thanks to technology, you can go on to the Manhattan cable network, the station, and watch it online. And I actually did make a little tiny, not a tiny, a bit.ly. B-I-T, if you go to www.bit.ly/MNNLive, you can watch whatever's on that thing. And Coach World is on Monday night, correct?
Monday nights from 8 to 8:30.
Yes.
You can also go on our website if you have any of the cable channels and you're in Manhattan. But you're right. Thanks to the technology and the computer, we are an international show.
That is correct. I have actually had people watching that as far away as California, so I do know.
Really? Oh,
yes, for sure.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Laurie Lawson, for some wonderful information, for a great conversation. It's been a pleasure to have you on my show.
Thank
have
you for
the tables
having
turned.
Me.
You're
yes.
very welcome.
You've done me many favors, and we've always
okay.
had great favors, so thank you.
Thank you, and this is our last Thursday night show. We'll be moving to Monday night starting next week, and we will have my guest, Glory Borgeson. So have an outstanding next 7 days, but have an outstanding next few days until Monday, and we will see you next week. Oh, again, you can find me at myfuturecoach.com and on Twitter at Coach Andrew. Good night, everyone.
Good night.